I believe that's a wow that's missing from our planet today. And the whole talk is going to center around finding that wow and what it might take from us in order to find it and to find those still moments. Less concerned about being the best speaker and more concerned about the presence that we're all hungry for. On that note, let me fill up a little bit of space. A brand new minister had just left seminary. He was so excited, and he got his very first call to his very first church, and he showed up on the first Sunday to deliver a magnificent sermon. And only one person showed up. One little old farmer in this country church showed up, and the preacher looked at him and said, "Well, what do you think? I've got it all prepared here. Should I give it?" And the farmer looked at him, and as he scratched his head, and he says, "You know, I don't know anything about preaching. I'm just a farmer. But I do know that if I loaded up my truck to go out and feed my cows, and only one showed up, I'd feed him." Oh, and the minister went, "Yes, hot dog, hot dog." And he began to preach the biggest sermon he would ever preach in his life. He dumped 4 years of seminary down just all over the sanctuary. He went on, and he went on, and he went on, and he went on, and he went on. And he finally, as he took the handkerchief and wiped his brow and finished, he turned to the farmer and he said, "Well, what'd you think of my first talk?" And the farmer scratched his head and said, "You know, I don't know anything about preaching. I'm just a farmer, but I do know that if I loaded up my truck to go feed my cows, and I went out there and only one of them showed up, I would feed him, but I wouldn't dump the whole damn truck on him." When I got into ministry for the first time, I had some delusion that I was supposed to have all the answers, that I was supposed to have this profundity that would change the face of the planet. And I would meet with families, and I would meet with people in Christness, and I tried to fill the space with a lot of words, a lot of wisdom. And I'll be honest, I failed miserably. Until I finally realized I'm a slow learner. I finally realized that they didn't need magic prayers, magic words, or more wisdom. What they needed was more presence. They needed more just being. And when I began to discover this and implement this, and I would love to say that I'm there, I every day have to remind myself of that. Hopefully not today with today's message. But there's an old proverb that says, "Don't speak unless you can improve the silence." Say that with me. Don't speak unless you can improve the silence. A little bit like Mark Twain, who said, "Better to keep your mouth shut and have people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." The world is hungry right now. Have you noticed that? It's thirsty. And it's not thirsty and hungry for more words, for more arguments and more debates and more opinions. The world is noisy with distractions and arguments, debate and endless filler, endless words and opinions, and most of it is just absolutely meaningless. Have you noticed that? Maybe that's what we need more of, is just silence and stillness and GB squared playing some bowls and just being present to the beauty without the words. But I'm going to do my best to put a little filler here. 60 years ago, Paul Simon, you might recognize the name, wrote one of the most haunting and beautiful songs ever written called "The Sound of Silence." That's kind of an oxymoron. That's impossible. How can you have sound and silence at the same time? The song wasn't really about the absence of noise. It wasn't about the absence of words. It was about something much more tragic, and that was the absence of connection. I asked myself the question, have we learned anything in 60 years? The failure of human communication, a world living in isolation, living in societal indifference. The song, if you just do a drive-by of the song, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But if you dig deep and you dive deep into those beautiful lyrics, it warns that people are losing their ability to truly connect, choosing instead a very shallow, disconnected existence centered around consumerism and superficial noise. Filler, filler, filler. We seem to be overflowing with a lot of voices these days. Guess what? I'm one of them many days. And I have to stop and pause and breathe and maybe put the song on and remember that the world doesn't need another opinion, another profound comment, another sermon, another profound prayer full of wisdom, but it really needs presence. We're starving for connection. People are speaking, but not truly communicating. People are hearing, but we're not truly listening. Do you notice that, or am I the only one? The noise on the outside seems to be in direct relationship with the noise on the inside. It's cause and effect. That's what we do here. Last week, I got to be away, and God bless Reverend John Strickland, who entertained you all and fed your hearts last week. I love him. He's a brother. But I needed to get to the mountains because the noise on the inside was very, very, very loud. And some of you noticed it. See, when you have noise on the inside, it spills out on the outside. And sometimes, as Jesus said, come apart for a while is necessary. I say, come apart for a while, or in a while you're going to be coming apart. And I noticed I was coming apart, so I went to the mountains. The mountains called, and I had to answer. I want to share some stories today. That's really just a lot of stories, but I invite you to let these stories live in you. As a child, I was very anxious, extremely nervous. I was in the therapist's office a lot. I had ulcers before I even hit middle school, full of anxiety and depression and sadness. And I realized that my spiritual path had not started for many, many years, but it actually began around Christmas time when this anxious child, consumed in knots on the inside, would get a snow globe. And I would shake that. And yet there's actually video of me shaking that snow globe in my anxiety. But then the moment when I sat it onto the table, and I watched. And I watched. And I watched. I believe I was learning meditation before I even knew the word meditation. There was a stillness that I did not have anywhere in my life, in my family, in my schooling, anywhere. But I found it at the bottom of a snow globe. And you know, those little flakes of white still move. And you wait, and you can wait, and they're still moving. And their hesitancy is to grab it again and shake it back up. As a child, I wanted to grab it up, and people said, why don't you shake it? It's a snow globe. Because I found the preciousness of the stillness to be more beautiful than the shaking it up. But what I see happening in the world today is a lot of people just grabbing the snow globes and making a lot of hurricanes, making a lot of blizzards, making a lot of snowstorms. This is how we're defining ourselves. And I think what we need to do now more than ever is just let the snow settle, to let it be peaceful. And that's what I did last week. People asked me how it was. And to be honest with you, it wasn't long enough. Can I find the ability for a snow globe that is me to settle in the midst of day to day, the sound within the silence in the midst of the chaos? And the answer is yes. That's what we do here, is we find that. A Zen master was walking with his young student one day, and they had been on a long journey and a hike. And the master said, I'm tired. I need to sit down for a moment, and I need something to drink. I'm thirsty. And he sent the student to the river. And then the student went to the river, but what had just happened is a wagon had just crossed across the river. And all the mud and the murk and the dust, all the silt was kicked up. So he came back empty-handed. And he said, I'm so sorry. It's muddy. I can't give you anything. And the master said, that's okay. That's okay. Let's wait a while. Let's wait a while. A few minutes later, he said, go check the river again. And the student went back to the river, and it was still muddy and murky and full of silt. And again, he came back, and he apologized to his master. I'm so sorry. It's still muddy. And the master smiled and said, that's okay. Let's just wait a little longer. And then finally, a third time, he sent the student. And when the student got to the river, all the mud had settled. And the water was clear. It was beautiful. It was clean. And he scooped up the water and he quenched the thirst of his master. And the master said to the student, that's what's going on with the human mind. We're not willing to sit still and to wait a while, to rest a while. I want the water and I want it now. I want the answer and I want it now. And a lot of us are drinking muddy water, dirty water, and we are poisoning the human race one drop at a time because we've lost the ability to sit and rest a while. To let the snow in the globe settle, to let the water in the stream settle. We're not drinking clear fluid anymore. And I'm saying, what a simple solution to the problems of the world. Can we just sit, be still, and be quiet? When life shakes us up with anger and stress and anxiety, anybody else feel it? Judgments and worries and fears, our thoughts become extremely muddy. But like the master, we don't need to force. We don't need to fight. We don't need to fight the mess to make it clean. We only need to step back, wait a little bit, and let time settle the trouble. The greatest thing you'll ever know is to love and to be loved. That's what settling does. Let me vibrate at the energy of love, at the vibration of the bowls and those that have come here today, every one of the practitioners that put love into every invitation of every bowl. Is that enough? Most people are saying no, so let me get busy filling the space. Let me get busy with another profound prayer or sermon or story or talk. If only we could just get still enough, I believe all the problems that we see in the world would disappear. My mother-in-law was one of the most profoundly, deeply spiritual beings I'd ever met. She was wise, far more intelligent than me. Her IQ was far greater than mine. Yet, my mother-in-law, and she raised kids, not my wife, but her siblings, that love drama. That just love drama, the love to kick up drama. And the woman, as profoundly spiritual and deeply spiritual as she was, she created drama everywhere she went. And she was very much like those people. You probably know people. I call them drama queens. They don't know how to define themselves if there isn't drama. The snow globe got a little too quiet, so I don't know who I am without drama. So let me grab your snow globe and shake it up for you. There are people walking the planet like that, and guess what? We're one breath, one idea, one thought, one relationship away from being one of them. I am one person, one thought, one idea, one moment away from grabbing somebody's snow globe and going like this. My mother-in-law, God rest her soul, I inherited an incredible library of spiritual knowledge. Beautiful, beautiful books. I could not read one of them. Because in the margins of every single one of her books were arguments. Opposing views. Yeah, buts. I'm telling you, the page, it looked like that up there. That's not one of her books, but that's what it looked like. There was no ability to digest the spiritual truth because it was so convoluted with thought. And we're in the thought business here at Unity, yes? But sometimes the thought is the very vehicle that's stopping us from the enlightenment. I put every one of her books down. I gave them away. Somebody else probably did the same thing, picked it up and went, what the hell? There was truth there. There was good there. There was love there. There was peace there. But it could not be seen through everything that was written in the margins of her life. And my hope and my desire is that as I began to work on my own anxiety and stress, that maybe at the end of her life, I brought her a little bit of peace in the margins of her existence. That I gave her a drink that she didn't have to be so consumed with being right. That she didn't have to be so consumed with doing everything perfect. That I gave her a drink of water that she did not get for the 85 years she lived on the planet. Rumi says this. Let's put the Rumi quote and let's read it together. Silence is the language of God. All else is poor translation. Read it one more time with me. Silence is the language of God. All else is poor translation. Robert Fulghum wrote one of the most profound books, a very simple book, very small book. Everything I needed to learn, I learned in kindergarten. When was the last time you stopped, looked, and listened? But then you know what's going on with the government? Do you know what they did to me? And we're drinking water that is muddy, convoluted, and there are no margins in our existence. A famous violin maker was once asked, what is the most important part of the violin? He was a master craftsman, and he was asked, what's the most important part of this instrument? And everybody thought he's going to say the strings. You have to have the very best strings. And he said, no. Oh, it must be the wood. If you get the finest wood, then that violin's going to sound amazing. And the craftsman said, no. Oh, it must be you have to have the hand of an artisan in order to make that violin sound as good as it can possibly sound. And the craftsman said, no. It's the spaces in the violin where the music lives. It is the use of space. And he said, without the hollow, there is no music. Without the hollow, there is no music. Anybody here in healing techniques hear the term hollow bone? A lot of healers say, I'm going to be a hollow bone. And I didn't really understand that. But I've, over time, been able to make peace with it as the minister who wanted to fill the space with profundity realized that I needed to leave space or there was no music to the wisdom. That I needed to find that hollow space within me that was teachable, that was open and receptive to simple ideas that still were as profound as anything I could do with a 45-minute sermon. I needed to remain hollow and still. And I thought about my piano teacher. Many of you know I'm a musician. I studied for many, many years to play the piano. And my teacher exposed it, again, before I was even involved in spirituality, exposed it. I loved to play Rachmaninoff. Oh, big chords, romantic chords, loud and big and full, and I could use the entire keyboard to play that piece. And she says, you're creating noise. You need to leave space. Because I would get faster and faster, and the band will tell you, I still have this problem. When we do a song together, I will rush the hell out of it. It starts at this tempo, and by the time we're done, here's where we are. And my teacher would tell me, let it breathe. Let Rachmaninoff breathe. Let the piano breathe. And the greatest lesson she gave me, the spiritual lesson, was the music is in the rests. The music that you just heard over the meditation was not in the bowl, in the striking of the bowl. It was the vibration of love that was there when there was nobody playing. But it was still in the room. Music finds its wealth, its power, its juice in the silence, in the rest. And that's where we find God. That's where we find truth. That's where we find peace. That's where we heal. The world is in the silences and the rests. There's a reason we had such sparseness to the songs that Stella sang today. Because she knows how to use that space. She knows how to use that breath. Her lesson today is more profound than mine. Take a breath with me. The question has never been, is God speaking? The question is, am I available to hear? I'll be honest, lots of times I'm not. But I come here because lots of times you are. And sometimes I can, and sometimes you can't. And somehow we come together, and the orchestra of violins finds the hollow bone, finds the river that is still, and everybody's snow globe gets still enough to realize we're okay. In the midst of the noise, we're okay. Let's wait a little longer there. A young disciple asked his teacher, Master, how do I hear God's voice? I'm going to invite the band to come up. How do I hear God's voice? And the teacher smiled and said, lower your own. I want you to breathe that in. How do I hear God's voice? The master within you, the hollow bone within you says, lower your own. Not just the volume of your speech, but the volume of your fear, the volume of your judgments. I had to go to the mountains to hear that. The volume of your insecurities, of your critiques. You know, we laughed about this thing here. We came in, and there was 47,000 judgments about this thing in the back here right now before anybody ever told you what was going on. Perhaps we can lower the volume of our knee-jerk responses and seek to understand and then to be understood. Perhaps we can be a hollow bone, a still snow globe, long enough to go, what's going on here? Instead of writing in the margins, what the hell are they doing now? What's this all about? Why did they choose blue? And that's how, have you ever noticed that we get caught up? Blue, purple, why did they not pink, green? I like green better. It should have been pink. No, don't do pink, they won't like it. And we get stuck in filling in the margins of creativity. And I want to be in an environment where we suspend the knee-jerk responses and just get creative. But not creative from the place of noise. Creative from the space of peace. You see, what we're talking about, waiting a while, is not about inaction. It never has been about inaction. And don't, that's a cop-out if you use it for that. It's action from the place of the stillness within me. It's action and expression and words and dialogue and relationship from the place of stillness. Not from the place I'm right. How could you think this way? How could you feel this way? Fill it in. And then we find ourselves with a messy book that nobody's reading. The only Bible that some people will ever read will be your life. Let it be a good read and lower the volume of the endless internal commentary. And when those things begin to get quiet, we begin to notice the sound of silence. The sound of stillness. My challenge today is, as you notice what's going on in the world, is to wait a while and let the river settle. To enjoy the music that's happening in the rests. To be a hollow bone, a hollow instrument, in such a way that healing naturally happens without you forcing it. To clear the margins of your existence and your running commentary. And I'm going to end with a quote and a song that we're all going to sing. And the quote comes from A Course in Miracles. Oh, we're not going to do that one, sorry. I cut that out for the sake of time. That's all right, that's good right there. A Course in Miracles says, let every voice but God's be still in me. Now, that's the path to healing.